Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven-figure plus store owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, we're going to be focused on the amazing lives part, hopefully. How do you like the title for this one, Living on a Hippie Commune? Figured that might get at least a few people to click based on the title, just out of raw curiosity. No, I haven't gone and joined a naked hippie cult somewhere, but I am joined by my good friend, Ezra Firestone, who actually did grow up on a hippie commune. And that's where we kind of start our discussion. We kicked it off with just, I don't do this a whole lot. I try to keep these podcasts super structured, or at least fairly structured, and dive into the topic at hand. But such a good guy, such an interesting guy, and had a lot going on that I just thought it'd be fun to have a catch-up conversation that kind of flowed naturally, focused on kind of non-e-commerce, more lifestyle things. And we start talking about relationships. Specifically, you know, he grew up on the hippie commune, hence the title of the episode. But we dive deep on relationships in terms of, yeah, cultivating those in our own lives. We talk about community. We talk about the number one, what we think each individually, the number one most important attribute in relationships, romantic or otherwise, are. We just go down the rabbit hole of you know, communal living, living with friends, some land that he's been building, a bunch of different stuff. And so not e-commerce specific per se, but I would say the content we talk about and discuss probably has more of an impact on your life ultimately in terms of relationships than e-commerce will. So hope you enjoy it. I had a lot of fun talking with him about it. Went a lot of fun places. Before we jump in though, I want to give a big thank you to our friends at Klaviyo, the ultimate e-commerce marketing platform for brands of all sizes. They offer email automation, SMS marketing, list growth tools, and more. You get everything you need to build super strong relationships with your customers. And with holiday, Black Friday, Cyber Monday right around the corner, time to get going if you haven't looked into this. And you can get up to speed quickly for your marketing campaigns with Klaviyo's integrations, pre-built marketing templates, and all of the functionality that they offer. You can get started for free at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF to start gearing up for the holiday season. All right, let's go ahead and jump into it with my good friend Ezra about all things hippie commune, relationship advice, and otherwise. Mr. Firestone, welcome back to the show, sir.
E-commerce fuel. I love it, man. So happy to be here. I love your show. Obviously, you were one of the OG, double OG, triple OGs of the e-commerce podcast game with Terry Lynn, who I haven't heard from Terry Lynn in a long time. Remember that guy?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I actually was checking out his website the other day, and I think he kind of made his way over into the crypto world. But yeah, he predated me by quite a bit. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of his podcast, but then there was you, and then Steve Chu had one, I think, pretty early on too. But yeah, super happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. It's always fun to have you on. Always never quite sure how you're going to greet me when I, all sorts of musical songs and memes and things that you
Darian.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But no, I wanted to have you back on to talk about a bunch of different stuff. And you know, it was funny, I was prepping for this a little bit and I thought, you know, we'll talk about some marketing stuff, but for the first half of this, at least, I just want to talk to you like we're catching up about stuff, about interesting things, maybe even, you know, non-e-commerce related. And so, yeah, I'm going to do that kind of selfishly and hopefully people enjoy it as well. If not, at least we'll have a great conversation. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is you live in New York and you've been building out this kind of cool compound. And I think maybe we chatted about this a year ago or so on the podcast, but you bought a bunch of land up there. You know, kind of the vision, the way I understood it was to build some guest houses that you could bring friends and family in that you guys could live in for a while, then build a kind of a main house for yourself, but kind of create a little bit of a communal living space. So I'm just curious, like, how's that going?
Yeah. I mean, for those of the folks who've never heard of me, I grew up on one of America's only intentional communities, hippie communes that's still around from the 60s. So I kind of grew up in a communal living environment, and I definitely don't want to create a hippie commune. And we can talk about the pros and cons, the pluses and minuses of the place I grew up, where you've got like tons of people and everybody's sharing a house and all this stuff. My wife is definitely not sharing a house or kitchen with anybody. Let's just put that right where it is. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a dream of my wife and I got together and we were 20. You know, we've always kind of thought that we would, when we would have kids, we would do it with some form of shared responsibility, some form of community. And that's manifested to what we're creating now, which is we bought, you know, 76 acres in upstate New York. We've begun developing. We made some interesting choices, like we chose to go prefab, and there's a whole lot of fun stuff to talk about when it comes to developing land. It's a lot like building a business. I mean, you got to build out all the infrastructure, you got to dig down before you can, you know, build up, and the whole thing. We started developing, I want to say, September of 2019, got shut down for COVID for a couple months in March, April, May, and we should be moving in about a month. And it's been a really intense project. It definitely takes twice as long and costs twice as much, but it's been a lot of fun. And I can tell you all kinds of interesting things about it. The general sense of it is it's going really well. And the intention is that, you know, we're going to start a family here pretty soon. And we want to do that with some form of community. We are, and luckily we are blessed to have, you know, a group of friends at the moment, one, maybe two couples, who one of which already has kids, another one wants kids, who we've known for a very long time and that we want to have this experience with.
That's so cool. Probably one of my best friends in the world and another really good friend of his that I've gotten to be close friends with. They live right next to each other, like next door to each other in this town in Idaho. And they've built kind of like, you know, on not, you know, a good chunk of land. Each of them probably have a couple acres there. And their kids are, you know, five, six, seven, eight, and they're growing up, and we'll go roll over there to visit them for a couple of days and our kids get out. And it's so cool to see, because in a world where I think community is becoming harder to find, particularly in COVID era, like it's just, it's so amazing to sit on a porch with people you really love and watch your kids run around together and just like have that, because it's pretty special thing, man. So I think it's cool you're building that.
Yeah. And it's also like, we are herding animals. The cities and suburbs that isolate people, you know, have had some pretty interesting, there've been some pretty interesting studies that have come out around the kind of effects of this style of living that we're doing. It's not just blanket statement bad, but if you don't go out of your way to create socialization and to create a social life and to have hobbies and to be connected to other people, then you end up much more likely to be depressed and feel super lonely, because it's not like the structure of your living situation is not what it was for millennia, which is we live in these small villagey type groups, you know? So I think it's important to seek that out. And, you know, my viewpoint is that relationships are the spice of life. That's where the juice of life is. It's like, what is the point of having something if you can't share it with someone else? It's not anywhere near as fun. And so, you know, what I'm optimizing for is my relationships. I'm doing everything in my life is designed specifically around my marriage with my wife. That's kind of like my core thing. It's what we're doing together. And then our social life and our work life is like designed to give us the ability to be able to have an active social life and also create surplus where we can, you know, have that spill out onto our, you know, community around us and the world at large. So I'm into it. I think being intentional about socializing is as important as being intentional about health and wellness.
Yeah, there's a book, Tribe, by Sebastian Junger. Great book. One of my favorite books from the last 3-4 years. I gave it as a gift to a good friend recently, and talks a lot about community and building community. And it's kind of, but Ezra, I don't know if you
just throw one thing on that book that tripped me out real quick, which is he opens the book and he says, "I got off a bus in Gillette, Wyoming on October 2nd. And I think he said 1986. Well, October 2nd, 1986 is my birthday. And Gillette, Wyoming is the town where my wife was born. So I just like, after the first few pages of that book, I was hooked. I was like, I was meant to read this book.
It's a sign. This book is highly relevant for my life. But it's kind of like, I don't know, Ezra, if you are a secretly behind the curtain, if you're an extrovert or an introvert, I know that publicly you very much are comfortable in front of people. You're very personable. You can connect with people. But I feel relatively comfortable connecting with people, even if I just meet them. And so, but even for people that feel comfortable in that extroverted role, you move to a new place or you're trying to create that social, that community, that sense of community. It takes, even for extroverts, it takes an insane amount of commitment and time and investment. And I can't imagine, like, if you're someone who doesn't reach out to people or feels really awkward in those situations or is just very shy, like it would be a really difficult time to try to build community.
Yeah, I mean, you get close to the people that you spend time with and that you relate with regularly. It's why, like, everybody, you know, it's like most common that people's best friends are people they work with, or the people that that people have affairs with are people from work, because you spend all your time with those people, generally in the traditional like office setting. And so, you know, my advice to folks who feel like, hey, you know, I'm not particularly extroverted, I don't really have like that gene where I go out and make it happen, is get involved in a hobby. go, you know, get into ping pong, join a ping pong league, get into yoga, go to, you'll make friends because you will fall in love with XYZ thing that you do all the time. And then you'll meet somebody who's also into that thing and you'll have a common thing to relate over and then a friendship will build.
Yeah. Or even if you have, let's say you got a family and you just don't have enough family time, one of the best purchases I've made the last 2 or 3 years was we bought this $60 old rickety foosball table off of Craigslist, right? Got a trailer, went, hauled it over, falling apart. But I have been, in terms of like family time, we have spent so many hours over the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks playing on that thing as a family and competing and laughing. Like just the having something to come around together that we all have a lot of fun with, like something like that has been, for building community, strengthening the community we have in our family already, it's been huge. So I want to go back to hippie commune that you grew up with, because, you know, we kind of brushed over that. What does that mean? Like, you, it's in Hawaii, right? So the things particular, I think, would be interesting to me and maybe other people. Like, what does that mean? Like, what are people, do you have a private house? Does everyone live in multiple houses? Like, what are the values and the living kind of situations of people in that culture?
It's a really fun story. And obviously, you know, as with anything, there are many flavors of communes, right? As with anything in the world, there's going to be, when you have tens of thousands of them spring up, there's going to be a lot of different ones. And they all tend to kind of, like, groups of people tend to coalesce around ideologies or sort of actions. It goes all the way back to the Great Depression, which is after the Second World War, and Eisenhower's president, and he wants to stimulate the economy. And so what he does is he repurposes the factories that are being used to make war machines, planes, tanks, automobiles, stuff like that, guns, and he repurposes them to make consumer durables, washing machines, dryers, toasters, etc. They come up with the idea for military tract housing, which is what we now know as the suburbs. Soldiers came back from the war. The baby boom happened. This is my parents' generation. This is also the hippie commune generation. And what those folks did, they came of age in the late 60s, early 70s, which is pre-AIDS and post-penicillin, right? So there's no STD that can kill you. It's kind of like that's where the free love movement came from, right? Because it was all safe back then. You had the Vietnam War. You had they were rebelling against their status quo. And on the coasts of America, mainly, a bunch of communes popped up. Well, the only problem, Andrew, was you get a group of people together and things come up. Jealousy, money, possessions, communication, sensuality, power dynamics, gender dynamics. And it's really hard to be successful at a relationship if you fail at any one of those things. And you look at how many relationships, a relationship starts at two, how many relationships of two people fail? Like most of them. So now you add more people on and it's super hard to make that work, which is why almost every one of these communes imploded. Well, the place I grew up has been around since 1968, and it's one of the only intentional communities to make it. And the reason they made it was because they spent the last 50 years researching the topic of what does it take to live pleasurably with other people? How do you govern a group of people? And the interesting government style of the place I grew up in. Like, so what's interesting about them is, like, it wasn't one of these hippie communes where we were growing food and everybody was crunchy granola and yada, yada. It was a group of ex-hippies who had kind of stepped out of the status quo and the mainstream and decided they didn't want to live that. And they were going to come together and live together and figure out how to do that in a fun way and research how to win at relationships. And they ended up making their money in a way by teaching what they learned, but in a different way than most. It's like, it wasn't a place where everybody who lived there had to subscribe to some ideology to be a part of it. It wasn't a place where you had to be a farmer. You know, some people were on acid, some people weren't. You know what I mean? It's like you're definitely went, you know, anything that lasts for 50 years is going to go through waves of craziness. And as the folks who started this place got older, it got less and less crazy. I mean, it was crazier when I was a kid than it is right now, for example. But cool thing about this place is they share their research on what they've found about how to win at relationships, both across the gender line, both across the intimacy line of, you know, marriage and partnership and relationship, just or in the relationships of friends like you and I. And the way they do it is descriptive, not prescriptive. So generally, when you get a group of people who teach information on lifestyle, they're going to prescribe you a dogma that you then subscribe to. And if you then subscribe to these viewpoints, now you are right. You know, take Scientology as an example. Nothing against Scientology, but this is their model. It's like, hey, this is the shit we think. And if you then subscribe to this, you know, set of ideas, now you're good and right, and you're doing it the right way. Well, that's prescriptive. And that's the way most people teach lifestyle information. And so the place I grew up is like, hey, listen, we don't think you're wrong. We don't think you need to change anything. Here's what we've found to work. We will describe it for you. And if there's anything that you find interesting, take it, try it on, see if it works for you. And they're not for profit. They're not out evangelizing. They're like a desire-based organization. They'll put on courses when people are interested. And they've got a nonprofit and they're still out there. But that's kind of like in 7 minutes, a sense, trying to give you a sense of the place I grew up. It's a very cool place. Definitely had its wild and crazy times and its hippie years. And it was a sort of, you know, definitely bred an entrepreneur. And when you look at the kids who were raised there, it's across the spectrum of how successful that experiment was of raising kids on a hippie commune. But I think overall we did about as well as society does, you know, a lot less structure and oversight than I imagine you had, i.e. like not much. Yeah, that's kind of a sense of it.
Hey, it's Andrew with a quick aside here. I talk about the e-commerce fuel private forums. It's our vetted community for 7-figure plus store owners. We're about 1,000 people strong. And been building this community up for over 7 years now, the largest community of its type in the world that I know of. And oftentimes I'll pitch, you know, how many discussions there are, or get excited and tell you about our review directories or how you can grow your business with it. But one thing I don't talk enough about, and I think especially in the light of this conversation, is the incredible relationships you can build there. I when I think about some of my really great friendships that I have today, many of those have come out of this community. And I know that's the same for a lot of other people, particularly if they come in, get plugged in and make it to one of our live events or a local meetup, just because you're connecting with people that get you, that understand you in a way that other people don't. Business is such an e-commerce in particular is such a unique thing. And being able to talk about it on a level where somebody instantly gets it, you can talk about the same frustrations and problems and money wins or money struggles that you maybe can't talk about with friends outside the space is pretty cool. So would love to have you come check it out. Come for the value and the problem solving and the reviews and the solutions, but I think you'll stick around for some of the relationships you develop if you really plug in. So if that sounds interesting, would love to have you learn more and potentially apply for membership. You can do that at ecommercefuel.com. All right, let's go ahead and get back to my discussion with Ezra. I mean, the big thing you talked about there was a focus on relationships and you know, you're very relational. You're great with people. It seems like, I think I told you this earlier, it seems like you and your wife, Carrie, have a really great, healthy marriage from what I've seen, which is awesome. And so I would be curious to hear, of everything you know about relationships, if you could distill, if there's one defining attribute where if you had to say, okay, this is the one thing I think is the penultimate thing to keep in relationships for healthy relationships, whether that's marriage or friendships or family relationships or business relationships, what would that be? Because I have an answer to that and I like asking this question. So I'm curious, I'll share mine when I'm done, but what do you think that would be if you had to name one?
I'm going to give you two. One is macro and one is micro. At a macro level, people are goal-oriented and production-oriented in their relationships. So basically, you know, in society, you're taught that you got to chase success, success at all costs, everything in the way, you got to make money, you got to go out there and do it. And so generally in people's relationships, they are oriented towards goals and getting places instead of being present and enjoying the relating with the other person as the goal, and whatever production comes is as a side effect of enjoyable relating. So not trying to get anywhere. I mean, yes, it's fun to collaborate on a project and try to achieve things, but not at the expense of the relationship feeling good and not moving faster than any one party is interested in moving, like really taking people into account to the level at which you don't move beyond their level of comfort, right? You stay with them in pace with where they are. You move as fast as the slowest person wants to move in relationship to whatever the goals are or in relationship to whatever the production cycle is. And then how that actually works in practice is this piece of lingo that comes from Morehouse, which is a place I grew up, called a withhold. And what a withhold is it's a value judgment that carries negative emotional charge that you make about someone and you don't tell them. So as an example, let's say you and I are in the kitchen and you step on my foot and you don't notice it. And I think to myself, man, Andrew's a real prick. He's always bumbling around, not paying attention to anyone around him.
Feet are huge, to be fair. I mean, it's probably wasn't my fault.
Yeah, okay. Well, I give the example. So you step on my foot. I'm upset about that. I don't express it. I have now made a negative value judgment about you and I have withheld that from you. And what happens in relationships of all kinds is these build up and these build up and these build up until one day you step on my foot and I fly off the handle and I'm leaving you if you're my partner. And it's a combination of all these times where I've made these value judgments about you but not express them. And so there's all this distance between us, all this buildup between us. And the way to be successful in relationship is do not let that happen. Like whenever something happens, positive or negative, acknowledge it, talk about it, have it be more important than whatever the production cycle is, whatever the goal is. Like most people are like, oh, I got this goal, or I'm too busy, or we're trying to do this thing. It's not the right time. No, that is a recipe for disaster. It's more important that things feel good between you and the person you're relating with than anything else. And that guarantees the longevity of the relationship. If you clean as you go, if you don't let these things build up. And then the same thing goes with positive withheld value judgments, things that you think positively about someone that you then don't express and keep to yourself. What feels good when you acknowledge what someone did that was good or what someone did that felt good. And the more you acknowledge someone, the more seen they feel and the nicer they are and the more they like you. And it kind of builds that sort of positive equity within the relationship. But the key is the negative ones, don't let them build up. Clean as you go. Have how it feels between you and the person you're relating with be more important than any goal or production cycle, and you will be successful.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And I think Annie and I have a word for that. It's called a rift. Like if we feel like there's that, because you can feel it, right? Like sometimes you don't even know why it's there and you know something has happened, but you're either in a great relationship and you have the smiles when you pass and you know things are good. And then you can just sense, if you've been married for more than about 3 weeks, you can sense, like, or just in a relationship, when something is off.
Yeah. And the cleaner you get, the more untenable it gets to have things be off.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and one of us is really good about like kind of bringing those to the surface and the other one isn't. And so that's been something it's really healthy when we just sit down and try to, you know, dig and figure out what that is when the other person doesn't want to talk about it, because it's super toxic to let that just sit. So I would say the number one thing I would say in any relationship, especially marriage, but I'd say for any relationship, that's most important in my mind is probably respect. Because like, I would rather be in a marriage where there wasn't the depth of love, but there was a high level of respect, versus the other way around, versus a deep well of love but zero respect. Because, I mean, I feel like so many things, you look at a lot of marriages that, or even relationships that go south, and it's because at some level there's just, you know, there's not a level of respect. Like if you're going tit for tat, I think that was a word you mentioned with Carrie at one point. Like you're doing that because, it's not because the problem's there, but you're not fighting fair, right? Like you're talking about, really what you're talking about with that was being able to bring up issues in a calm, measured way that's respectful to your partner while also telling them how they hurt you. And if you can do that, if you can fight fair, like that's a huge part of having a great relationship. And it's based on respecting that other person.
I know you only asked for one. I totally agree with you. But here's one more, which is a lot of people are victimized by their emotional state. And so they feel emotion and then they let that emotion that they're feeling sort of dictate how they communicate, instead of recognizing that emotion is something that you're feeling and then you can choose how to behave based on how emotional you are. And so if you feel all like angry or agitated or upset or sad or happy or elated, that you can like still communicate with your partner from a flat place. And one of the best things that you can do is talk to somebody else and run off your emotional charges. Say you're upset at a friend. Instead of talking to them while you're upset, go talk to someone else, run off all your charge, that when you approach the friend, even though you might be upset about something, you can communicate with them in a way that they can hear. Because if you communicate with them while you're angry, they will not hear what you say. They will just hear the anger. So I feel like understanding that you're separate from your emotional state is one that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And it's probably a lot of times healthy to talk to a third party about it. But I think also, I got to give my mom a lot of credit for this. A lot of times my mom growing up, she would say something maybe in relation to us, we were crazy kids, or to my dad, like, or she'd just tell us like, I'm really upset and emotional about this. And I know it's not valid and I know it's not logical or reasonable, but like I'm feeling this way and it's really making me upset. And so she was simultaneously being able to acknowledge those emotions and talk about them and share them so that we knew she was going through that, but also, you know, also be able to acknowledge that, hey, I realize this is I'm kind of being crazy in her words, right? Like, because it's, she understands it's not valid. And so I feel like if you can do that too with your spouse or your partner, it lets that other person vent. And on the other side of like, you're reciprocating that, I think it's really healthy and important to be able to say, hey, I totally understand, empathize with those feelings. And even if you don't, like, even if you fundamentally disagree and think, yeah, you're crazy, like, how are you having this reaction? It doesn't make sense. Thinking in your mind, like, in their reality, this is the emotional state they're in. And even though it's not logical, it's what they're experiencing, and trying to have empathy for the emotion that they're going through, even if you disagree with the logical premise.
Totally. I love that. I mean, we're talking about communication fundamentally. And one of the other things that happens is people forget that relationships take investment, right? Like if you want a good sex life, if you want romance, if you want fun, that you have to actually make time for that stuff. And that like what happens is cycles build up. Hey, I got to take out the trash. Hey, we got to take care of the cat. Hey, we got to take care of the kids. Hey, I got to do my work. And it's just like you become like sort of de facto roommates and partners because you forget to invest in the areas that brought you to the dance in the first place, which was going on dates together and having fun together and spending time with just nothing to do but talk to one another. And so, I mean, this is a, I see this happen a lot. It's a common, I was telling you before the podcast that I sat in literally thousands of hours of relationship counseling growing up. So my parents did. So I was able to sit in on those rooms. And this is a common experience that people have is they just kind of forget because life gets so busy and that they forget to kind of invest in the relationship in the areas that are what initially got them together. And it's really easy to counterbalance that. You just start. You just set up a date night once a week and you just kind of take it from there.
That's going to do it for this week. Again, a big thank you to the team at Klaviyo for making the show possible. The best place to send highly segmented messages via email and SMS to your customers to make more money. You can learn more about them and get started at klaviyo.com/ECF. And also brought to you by the eCommerce Fuel Private Community, a vetted forum and review directory of 1,000+ in the trenches experienced store owners that you can connect with to help grow your business. If you want to learn more about that and apply for membership, you can do that at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard and adventure often, and looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network live from New York.